kids are wired to make an impact. And when they see, you know, sort of these token, why don't you be on a committee, or, you know, why don't you take flowers to a shut-in, all of which is fine, that is not enough to engage them in a more sustainable kind of way.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the founder of this ministry and the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology. Our topic covered during our two conversations this time will be ministering to youth.
I think young people are looking for a reason to leave the church more than they're looking for a reason to stay. So if we just love them without agenda and without wanting to influence them or fix them or change them or see it as a problem, but see them as human beings to honor with dignity and see them as people that Christ died for and send them out to love people in the world that Christ died for, I think they'll find their purpose in the church and they'll want to be there. I mean, why does anyone leave anything? Because they don't feel fed by it, they don't feel a purpose, and they don't feel a part of it. So I think that's our role.
And so it feels like the biggest misconception is seeing teenagers as those folks who are on hold until they grow up enough. And, you know, the truth is most kids are not going to wait their turn. They're going to go to some place that they can make an impact.
Well, there you have our topic today in a nutshell. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking that the content is not just for youth workers and those who lead Sunday school classes and other youth-oriented ministries, but for parents as well. I've listened to these conversations several times, and believe you me, there is a lot of practical wisdom for every one of us. This is a nonprofit outreach. If you're not familiar with Come Receive the Light, we're a part of the overarching ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network, and if you're not already on our website, you can visit us at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. We begin with a conversation featuring Katrina Batar, who has been working in youth and young adult ministry for almost 15 years and is currently serving as the director of YES, Youth Equipped to Serve, the program from Focus North America. And conducting the interview is one of our guest hosts, Father Michael Marcantoni, who is the priest at the Greek Orthodox Church of the Holy Spirit in Rochester, New York.
Katrina, could you tell us a little bit about how you came to work in this field and what you think are the qualities that a youth worker needs to acquire in order to effectively serve in youth ministries?
Well, truly the most ideal youth worker, if I was to say, and one that really offers a deep formational experience for a young person is someone who's motivated by love and not fear of what kids are going through or trying to take them away from something or stop them from doing something. Or I have a friend that says youth ministry is not about making kids good. You know, youth ministry is about standing alongside young people in their journey to find themselves, their true selves in Christ. And I think a true youth minister really ideally has pastoral gifts in that way. So it's definitely not a job for anybody who is just looking to work for the church and maybe hasn't had an opportunity yet present itself, or even maybe not even a clergy position present itself. Because I think that happens a lot too, that people just kind of get put in these positions because, and I think a growing number of our churches are having full-time youth pastors, youth directors. So I think the motivation is key. The motivation is to love and serve and put the time in to know each child and not just be a behavior manager or an event planner.
And so tell me a little bit, over the years, you in all of this working and organizing youth programs, what, in your opinion, is really the key to engaging young people with our faith in a world that has become ever more distracting? Is it possible that in all of this that young people still sense the need for a faith-based life? What are your thoughts?
I think it really starts with adults and mentors understanding that young people in this generation don't respect as easily as our parents and grandparents did, right? So when you think about, when I think about like my parents, if it's a police officer, you respect him. If it's a priest, you give him respect. You respect your teachers, just automatically based on their position. And young people of this generation don't really function the same way. They really need to feel respected and feel seen and feel loved, or they'll start with mistrust, especially because just there's a lot more fear and self-doubt in them. So when they feel that they are seen and honored as a human being, it really just kind of opens them up to see that the church is set apart to love the world, to serve the world, and they have a place in that. And I think it's so important to really create those relationships with them that encourage them, that allow them to be self-aware, to find peace that they seek in other places. Often, you know, they will get distracted easily or seek out comfort in places that aren't the healthiest places, or in ways that aren't the healthiest ways, because they aren't being comforted and seen and loved and empowered by the adults in their lives to be who they really can be. So they're always longing for God. there's always this longing for their Creator that they can't always pinpoint, because they don't always know why they're bored or lonely or feel like they don't have a purpose. And so I think that's our role, is to give them a purpose within the church for the world, so they don't feel so separate when they're in church or, you know, hanging at school with their friends, that they feel like they are part of the Lord's workmanship, and they have a role in the lives of all the people they encounter as part of His body. So, yeah, I think there's always a longing for faith, and they can't always pinpoint it, so they hide or they self, you know, medicate in different ways. So that's our role, I think, to not have them be afraid of the world, but to empower them to love and serve it as the church.
So on that note, could you tell us a little bit about Focus and your current position where you serve as the director of YES, Youth Equipped to Serve? Is this a new program? What is the goal of this program?
Sure. Well, Focus North America is a beautiful ministry of the church that seeks to empower parishes and communities to connect with and meet a need of their own city. So we foster and support communities as they embark on local initiatives to serve the poverty in their own city that's unique to where they live. And so YES is actually older than Focus, about 5 years older than Focus is. YES used to be called Orthodox Youth Outreach, and it was a program of the Antiochian Archdiocese Youth Department. And so when Focus started, our founder thought it would make perfect sense to have the program become pan-Orthodox, be part of Focus and its mission, because it tied together so beautifully. And it's been just amazing for YES to be the youth program of Focus. You know, we have churches of all jurisdictions that host trips. We have leaders and students from all jurisdictions coming together and serving together. And so it's been really beautiful.
And so, just in closing, what do you think needs to be done to help young people center their lives more in faith? What would you wrap it up as?
I would ultimately say that it's about our starting place. Like, what is motivating us for young people? Like, we cannot and should not be people that look and ask questions like, what do we do to keep kids in the church? Or else we're going to become influential and start to be motivated by fear and protection instead of being motivated by love and standing alongside young people to help them find their Lord and choose to be part of His church. Because really, I mean, the Lord in all of His callings calls us to go out. He calls us to go out. And the church is a community that feeds us and strengthens us and heals us to be His vessels of His ministry and His work for His people in the world. So if we create fear and if we create dichotomies, it's not going to help. I think young people are looking for a reason to leave the church more than they're looking for a reason to stay. So if we just love them without agenda and without wanting to influence them or fix them or change them or see it as a problem, but see them as human beings to honor with dignity and see them as people that Christ died for and send them out to love people in the world that Christ died for. I think they'll find their purpose in the church and they'll want to be there. I mean, why does anyone leave anything? Because they don't feel fed by it. They don't feel a purpose and they don't feel a part of it. So I think that's our role, is to invite them, to stand alongside of them, and to pray that the Lord helps us to set aside our own agendas to be what they need.
Amen. That was all very well said and very informative. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. May God bless your ministry and your work.
Same to you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. God bless you.
You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, and some of you may remember our conversations about Focus North America and the YES program for youth with Troy and Theodora Palomalu. We talked with them a number of years ago. You can find out more about Focus and also YES when you go to the website focusnorthamerica.org. That's Focus North America, all spelled out, .org. Well, we continue our conversation about youth and the church with our regular host, Father Christopher Metropoulos, and his guest, the Associate Pastor for New Projects at the First Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee, Reverend Mark DeVries. Mark, for over 25 years, was the Associate Pastor for Youth and Their Families at First Pres. He also is the founder and president of Youth Ministry Architects, a consulting firm specializing in working with youth and children's ministries in transition.
Mark, what do you think some of the biggest challenges we're facing today? I mean, I know with our own youth group here, we have them. Some years it's up, some years it's down. What I've found is when you engage them in something, they will understand and seek Christ in those people they're being engaged with. But let's go to what you feel. What are the biggest challenges you see?
Well, I would say that most churches have a very sentimental view of what youth ministry ought to be. In other words, we just have this idea that it just sort of organically happens, and that kids just sort of naturally connect with a leader, or that, you know, if we just get a kind of a superstar youth director in there, that'll pretty much take care of our problems. And the truth is, youth ministry, yes, is fundamentally about relationships and building these cross-generational relationships. But unless we create deliberate structure for that to happen, what's going to happen is that the generations will naturally separate and isolate from each other. And those things don't naturally happen because we hire a youth worker. And so I hear a lot of youth workers use language about, you know, for me, it's all about relationships. And when I dig down deeper, what that really means is, for me, it's all about me.
Mm.
It's
yeah,
all about what
hearing.
I do. It's all about the relationships I build with students. And, you know, I figure that the Alpha and the Omega could actually do about 12 kids in his youth group. So I think anything over 12 is probably a little bit arrogant if we're going to make the relationships all about us.
Mark, you know, I've been thinking about youth ministry my whole life. I've been working in it my whole life. We have 6 children of our own, and I've watched and seen a lot. And I wonder, if we were doing such a bang-up job in youth ministry, why are 6 out of 10, to the latest statistic I found, why are 6 out of 10 kids not coming back to their church and leaving? Obviously, we're missing the boat, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and I think if the culture were static, in other words, if we were comparing apples to apples of 50 years ago and now, I would say the problem is in youth ministry. But the truth is, there have been dramatic and fundamental shifts in the culture and in the nature of what adolescence is in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would say, if anything, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily an indictment on youth ministry that, you know, 6 out of 10 are not, you know, retaining their faith or practicing their faith. But it does say to us, we got to change the way we're doing things.
Well, I know for us, we were very interested years ago in a basketball tournament. You know, we said, well, the basketball will bring them. They'll come. Look at them. They're coming by the busload, and they're playing basketball. And I would sit back and say, what does that have to do with Christ?
Yeah.
Where is Christ in that? I mean, I would have thought if we taught Christ more and maybe basketball as the elective, if you would, rather than make it the course, make it the elective, we might have done things a little better. But I don't want to be too harsh, but on the other term, on the other side, I see a problem that we're facing.
Yeah, I think generally we have done a pretty good job of introducing kids to a loving God. And most kids are leaving our ministry still believing in God and still wanting to be a disciple of Jesus at some, you know, vague definition. What we haven't done, in my thinking, which is tied into how we're tracking, you know, the retention of young people, what we haven't done is help them engage in a vital Christian community. Mm-hmm. So we may have, you know, we have brought them into a really profound youth group experience, which becomes an orphaning structure for them, and they leave youth group and they don't know what it's like to be a part of the life of a church. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like there's a gap there. The data we don't have is where would we be if we hadn't been doing youth ministry these last 50 years?
Yeah.
You know, we may be more like Europe if that were the case. And so, like you, I don't want to be too hard on youth ministry, but I do want to raise the flag and say we've got to be thinking differently. We got to be prototyping. You know, let's imagine if this particular approach is not knocking it out of the park, what can we try, kind of as a next faithful response to a very different kind of culture? I feel like the folks at Sticky Faith at the Fuller Youth Initiative, mm-hmm. I feel like they're beginning to get after it a little bit. Kara Powell is the professor there who has sort of done a research project on kids and the sort of stickiness of their faith after they leave high school. And this is starting with kids who were active in youth ministry when they were seniors in high school, which, of course, is a small number. Mm-hmm. But of that group, there's a disappointing percentage that's still hanging on to their faith, mm-hmm. or practicing their faith in some way. I mean, it's always a little bit tenuous to say that they've lost their faith because, you know, mm-hmm. Those of us who watch kids go into college and then out and then return back to a vibrant faith after college, you know, it's not uncommon. But this tracking that she has done has yielded a whole series of resources around the Sticky Faith Initiative. So there is a Sticky Faith launch kit that a church can begin to implement in their own context that helps put the kind of systems in place that maximize the chances of kids, you know, living out their faith as they move off to college.
Excellent.
And the interesting thing is the particular style or model of the youth ministry is not central to that process. What is central to that process is kids connecting they describe it as the quantity and the quality of relationships with the adults in the congregation.
Okay, very good. Mark, a year or two ago, I think it was, Professor Kenda Dean was on the program, and she does a lot of work on faith retention in youth. And one of the programs, she was very critical of Sunday school because it often pulls children out of the sanctuary during a Sunday service and into the classroom. So they aren't worshiping as part of the larger community, which is something you referenced there, and they aren't witnessing their parents actually worshiping. Your thoughts about Sunday school? I don't know if you do that in your church, at the Presbyterian Church, but we have it here. They worship most of the liturgy, and then right after receiving Holy Communion, they leave to go to Sunday school. So they see part of it, but I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, one of the challenges is when kids have a choice,
between a grade level or an age level, more contextualized program for them, and worshiping the larger community that's not as targeted to them, they will almost always choose the program that is designed for them. The problem is that, you know, kids would rather separate from their parents on Sunday morning. Parents would rather have their kids separate from them. And so there's a, you know, I think in an ideal world, and many churches a number of churches now, had lunch with a youth pastor at a large church down the street from me, and he said, you know, 3 years ago they canceled their Sunday morning youth programming, and they kids just either go to worship or they assist in the children's ministry. We're seeing, you know, more and more of an interest in that, particularly as this research about sticky faith comes out. You know, I also want to recognize that it's a much messier question than, you know, just in the abstract. And so, you know, the truth is many congregations will continue to offer a Sunday school program that's going to happen before worship happens. But, yeah, in an ideal world, if we were to say no more Sunday morning separate age-level classes for kids maybe over fourth grade, and those kids are all in worship, you know, it'd be a great experiment. And for those kids that come, you got to believe it's going to have a deeper impact on their, you know, on their faith than just coming to a what I call a horizontalized program that's just kids at the same age and stage.
Well, it's also, too, I think you mentioned it in the beginning, cultural and actually a technological shift in the culture. So we have the issues of the family that being questioned, male, female roles. We have the issue of technology, which has burst onto the scene where everybody communicates now via Facebook or text. So we also have, on top of that, kids then go into the classroom, and the foundation that from which we teach has remained the same. But the foundation that they have built outside with their families is very different. It doesn't seem as if many times we're in partnership anymore. We're kind of going in like a rocket blasting off from both ends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And it's, you know, Kenda would probably say it's an epistemological question. You know, how do they learn? Can churches move quickly enough, are they willing to move quickly enough to adjust what we do in worship so that kids who are being formed in the ways they learn by the technology they use, are we willing to make some adjustments there? And so, you know, in our peculiar context here, what we have decided to do is we have it's like a laboratory, like a prototype worship experience that's on Sunday evenings that is for the entire church, but it is a place that allows us to experiment with other ways of learning, other ways of hearing, other ways of experiencing worship. With, you know, it's not just, hey, we're going to use guitars instead of the organ. It's creating a laboratory for those sorts of things to happen. Not perfect, but at least it doesn't force us to bet the farm on Sunday mornings and say, okay, we're going to do a wholesale change on Sunday morning. But it does give a place to invite kids into a worshiping community.
Let me ask you this, Mark. How about common misperceptions about Christian youth? What are adults misunderstanding?
The one that concerns me the most is that most adults see adolescence as a holding tank, where we just want kids to, if you can just hang in there and not lose your faith during these years, sort of this kind of defensive posture. But our experience is, by the time a young person is a senior in high school, if that young person is not in some sort of leadership role, if they don't have some kind of responsibility, they have begun to check out. But most churches have little or no
real responsibility that kids can have at that age. So, you know, maybe they can read scripture periodically on Sunday morning, or they can usher. But in terms of, you know, kids are wired for heroism. That's what Kenda says in her book, Practicing Passion. Kids are wired to make an impact. And when they see, you know, sort of these token, why don't you be on a committee, or, you know, why don't you, you know, once a year take flowers to a shut-in, all of which is fine, that is not enough to engage them in a more sustainable kind of way. And so it feels like the biggest misconception is seeing seeing teenagers as those folks who are on hold until they grow up enough. And, you know, of course, Presbyterian, the root word of that is elder. And so we are ruled by elders, and it is about, you know, let's wait your turn until you get to be an elder. And the truth is, most kids are not going to wait their turn. They're going to go to some place that they can make an impact.
Okay.
So I think that's the biggest one I'm observing.
No, that's a good point. Very good point. Kids are wired for heroism. I love that. Let's ask this question. One thing that every parish can do to improve youth ministry, regardless of the group size, the parish budget, all the things, frankly, the excuses we usually hear.
Mm-hmm. I think every parish can invite young people into leadership. Every parish can, you know, in my little church I grew up in Waco, Texas, you know, that we never got it right, but the pastor was deliberate about, you know, I just remember two or three times in my teenage years, my pastor took me out to lunch and asked me questions as if my opinion mattered. And rather than reading a book about what teenagers think or reading broad studies about what teenagers believe, what every church can do is actually know and listen to them. And one of the things that Christian Smith observed in this National Study of Youth and Religion is that for most of the interviews they did, and they did hundreds of interviews and thousands of surveys, most of the interviews, he said it was like this was the first time an adult had ever asked them, what do you believe? Mm-hmm. And just stepping into the particularity of an individual kid kind of wrestling through the fuzziness of what it is they believe and trying to land somewhere, that is something I believe that every church can do, kind of one kid at a time.
And finally, Mark, what are one or two things you think are critical for youth to have sort of locked in their minds when they leave for college? Forget the heavy theology. What's the core of what we as parents and ministers should be conveying to our children about God?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just follow Jesus on this one and, and say, we want you to, you know, your life is about loving God and loving people. And let's get those two things right. And sort of as a foundation for that, there is a God who in Jesus Christ has loved you and continues to love you, and you cannot doubt your way out of his love. You cannot sin your way out of his love. You can't walk off the map of grace. Inviting kids to this sort of prodigal God who continues to relentlessly, Manning language, furiously pursue us in love, regardless of how often we fail and don't get it right. I think those are the things I would want my kids to have as they leave the home.
Mark, it's been great to have you on the program. You're a delight to speak to, and we wish you the very best.
Brother, great to be with you. Blessings on you, and hope things go well.
Thank you.
Well, to listen to this conversation and others again, you can go to our website, if you're not already there, at myocn.net and click on the Listen button. It's right on the homepage, and then select Come Receive the Light. That's myocn.net. youthministry@newlifepetaluma.net. And remember, we're a nonprofit outreach, and if you'd like to join us as a financial partner, just click on the donate button and learn all of the ways that we have for you to do just that. Once more, myocn.net. And remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Share the fact that we're on the air with your friends. Encourage them to join us as well. And remember, until we meet again, to always have faith in what you listen to.